Well, I thank Pastor Jack for sharing about our part in his church and the church in McNary. What you don't know is that when we gave you $10,000 for your foundation, my daughter came back from a mission trip to South Africa and said they want to build a church and they need help, so we gave them $10,000 to build their foundation. And then someone else told me that a church in China wanted to build a church, and so we gave them $10,000 for their foundation, but the Chinese government wouldn't let them build. So we ended up investing it in the the Malaysian Baptist Seminary instead. And it was an amazing year because that happened all in one summer. And so God blessed us, and we are happy to bless our brothers and sisters in Christ. In the early 1900s, skyscrapers were going up in New York City and all the big cities, and this old farmer had never seen one before, and he was fascinated that they could build such tall buildings. So he took his wife and his son to go see one, and his wife was tired from the trip, so she stayed in the truck, and the father and the son, they're in awe as they go into this skyscraper, and they walk into this massive lobby. Then they see these mysterious doors. Go to our first slide. They see these mysterious doors, and they're like, what's that for? Then they watch this elderly woman step inside, and the doors close. Then a few moments later, the doors open again, and a beautiful young woman stepped out. The old farmer turned to his son and said, quick, go get your mama. Wouldn't it be great if we could just walk into church as one person, and then an hour later we leave as a better person or a different person? Wouldn't that be wonderful? It'd be so easy. But see, there's nothing magical about what God does for us. Spiritual transformation is not magical. It is the work of God and our work in our own hearts to become the person God wants us to be. Spiritual transformation is a choice. And for this next couple of weeks, we're talking about different challenges I want you to think about for 2020. Last week, we talked about being bold for God, being bold in making changes for your life. Today, I want you to be bold about developing integrity in 2020. You know, you're thinking, why integrity? What's so important about integrity? Let's look at this definition of integrity. Quality of being honest, having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, a state of being whole and undivided. In the Bible, you don't see the word integrity that much. It's more of a modern word, but you see the word upright, or maybe righteous, or an upright person, or a pure heart. Why is integrity so important to Christians? And so our first thought in your outline, we're going to take a look at it. A life of integrity leads to God's blessings. A life of integrity leads to God's blessings. If you want a better life and a better future, you need to become a person of integrity. If you're angry and bitter right now, you're not happy, you need integrity. If you're sad and depressed all the time, you need to develop integrity. If your life is going nowhere, you don't know where you're going, you need integrity. God says, develop integrity and you will be blessed. Let's look at Job chapter 8, verse 5. But if you pray to God and seek the favor of the Almighty, and if you are pure and live with integrity, He will surely rise up and restore your happy home. And though you started with little, you will end up with much. God's blessings are conditional. See, everybody wants a happy home. Everybody wants to be blessed, but God's word, His promises are conditional. The promise is God will restore your home and give you a happy home and bless you with much if you are pure and you live with integrity. So integrity is a choice, and then it's a commitment, then it's a conviction in walking with God. Let's look at this slide. The word integrity comes from the word integer, which means a unit of one. That means you don't compartmentalize your life. You act like a good Christian over here, but over here you do what you want. You know, you're hiding one thing and showing something else. You're not one thing to one person and something different to someone else. Integrity means all parts of your life are integrated together and you act the same no matter where you go. So we need integrity in three areas. The first one is we need spiritual integrity. Your heart needs to be pure. We need integrity in our relationship with God. How many times have you failed to keep your promises to God? How many times have you neglected your work for the Lord? Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What does it mean to have a pure heart? You love God completely, and you're completely devoted to Him. Is your love for God real? Is it just a passing fad? Is He just doing it because you want His favor? See, having integrity means your heart is pure. You are devoted to God. Now understand this, having integrity does not mean you are sinless. The Bible says that Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, and Paul all were upright people. They had integrity, but none of them were perfect. God called David a man after His own heart, yet he committed horrible sins. He murdered and he committed adultery. God's saying you don't need perfect, be perfect to be a person of integrity. You need a heart that is wholly devoted to God. And spiritual integrity means you care more about God's approval than the approval of others. Sometimes when we want to do the right thing, when we want to honor God with our lives, it's hard. It's unpopular. It's difficult to be a Christian in the U.S. today because everybody criticizes you. But if you care about what God thinks, you will do what is right. If you care about what other people think, you'll often do what is wrong. And I appreciate Pastor Jack because when I hear him talk, I think about all the people that serve in McNary, and I realize the main reason all the folks that go up to McNary serve there is because of Pastor Jack. Okay, Pastor Jack, they think you have integrity. Now, I know you're not perfect, right? You're not perfect, but people see your heart and your spiritual integrity, and they want to be a part of it. And that's what the difference we make in people's lives when we have spiritual integrity. The second area of integrity we need is social integrity or relationship integrity. You look out for the interests of others. I think the greatest pain in life comes from being lonely, when you don't think anybody cares. The greatest pain in life is when you don't think you have friends. This happens when we are selfish or we are self-absorbed with ourselves, when we're prideful or we're bitter and depressed. So we need to develop integrity, and the way you develop integrity is to look out for the interests of others. Your love of God should be so pure and devoted that it compels you to love and serve others. And when you're able to serve others, your heart will be filled with joy and satisfaction, and you want to keep serving. You want to keep serving. The other day, someone called me. I had my whole weekend planned and this week planned, and someone called me and said, I need help with a funeral. My mother passed away. Can you help me? And I'm like, oh, I'm busy. That's the first thing I want to say, but I've learned that that's a ministry I can do to people that may not know Jesus or barely knows me. And I said, yes, I will help you. And then I thought back over the 100 funerals I've done, for some amazing reason, I've never had to turn down anybody. And that's because God wants me to use me. God wants me to look out for the interests of others. So that's a blessing. It gives me joy and satisfaction. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look out for your own interests, but also to the interests of others. If we're people of integrity, we treat people with honor and respect. We truly care about them. We serve them with love, and because of that, our lives are filled with rich and rewarding relationships. Are you a person of integrity? Are you looking out for the interests of others? Then the third area we need to work on our integrity is personal integrity. You always do what is right. Integrity is all about being honest. You know, the person we lie to the most is who? I think the person we lie to the most is ourselves. We lie to ourselves the most, not our spouse or our friends. We tell ourselves it's not my fault. I'm not the problem. Everything's fine. You know, we have to realize, we have to be willing to admit that we are not people of integrity at times, that we sin and make mistakes. And so the way you start developing your integrity is to start doing what is right all of the time. You make a commitment to God, to know His Word, and to trust in Him and do what is right all the time, especially when no one is looking. You do what is right because it matters to you most of all. It matters to you and it matters to God, not because you want to be popular or famous. That's when integrity kicks in. Matthew 6:3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus is saying, don't give to show off. Don't give to puff yourself up. But give in secret when no one can see. No one knows what you give. Don't make a show of it. Give it in secret. That's how you show you are sincere. God will bless your integrity. See, our integrity, when we are people of integrity, a person of integrity, it opens doors and opportunities. One of my clients once said to me, I believe you are a person of integrity. And because of that, I want you to do more services. I want to give you more responsibilities in my business. It opened doors. A Christian who walks with integrity is a tremendous witness to the world. It opens doors to share the gospel because we practice what we preach. We're just not one thing in the pulpit and something else in person. A lot of people want to segment their lives. On Sunday, they are people of spiritual integrity, but on Monday, they do all sorts of things that dishonor God, or they behave, or they tell lies, or they lie and cheat. You know, if you're harboring sin in one area of your life, it will affect the rest. You can't assume that, well, what some people see is all that matters, and what other people don't see is none of their business. You know, when you live and think you can hide sins and compartmentalize your life, you're living the Titanic myth. This is a Titanic myth. Remember the Titanic? Anybody see the movie? I've seen it. My daughter made me go see it with her. 4 hours. But it was a brand new design where they sectioned off. They sectioned off the ship with barriers, and the only part of it would fill. It would not fill the rest of the ship. But what happened? It got heavier and heavier, and the water would pour over, and eventually this unsinkable ship sank. We think like, man, if I can just hide my sin, no one knows about it, I can go on with life, I can be happy, no one knows what I am doing. But guess what? When it comes to your life, a hole in the boat is a hole in the boat. And it will sink eventually. It may take time, but it will fill, sin will fill your life, and it will ruin your life. Get your life right with God. Ask God to fill that hole with His love and wisdom and develop integrity. So you're never going to be perfect, and you're never going to be sinless, but you can sin less. Become a person of integrity by choosing to do what is right all the time. So how do we do it? How do we take that next step? I'm going to give you 6 ways to work on your integrity. See, integrity demands that every area of your life is treated with the same intensity. You have the same commitment to excellence in your marriage as you do in your career. You have the same commitment to excellence in ministry as you do in your parenting. You have the same excellence in every area of your life. Nothing is bad. So we start in little ways. We don't do grand ways. In little ways, in secret ways, we become consistent in little things, and we'll become consistent in big things. See, if you get used to telling little lies, what happens? If you get used to telling little lies, you become a big liar. All right? If you always tell the truth, you will have integrity. And so the first thing you can do, first step you can take is keep your promises. Keep your promises. You make a promise, keep it. Matthew 5:37, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Your yes is yes and your no is no. People of integrity keep their word. If they say they will do it, they will do it. If they say they'll be there, they show up. Your yes is yes and your yes is not maybe or if I feel like it at the time. You may have every intention of keeping your promise when you make it, but if you don't fall through, you break a trust. There's always negative consequences. When you break your promise to your children or to your spouse, every time you break that promise, it creates a little bitterness. It poisons the relationship. Eventually, they will not trust you. This is a picture of Jerry Falwell. Jerry Falwell started the first mega church, the Thomas Road Baptist Church. He also started Liberty University. And he was a big advocate for Christian ideals and morality. The liberals hated him, but I have great respect for him because he was devoted to the Lord. And what's interesting is he was busy. I mean, he built all this stuff, and he served the Lord. Liberty University, Thomas Road Baptist Church. But he was a devoted father. And he was always there for his children's birthdays. And so I read a story when his secretary booked a speaking engagement on the same day as his son's Jonathan birthday. He didn't realize that she had done that. And so because he was committed to his son and his birthday, he said, "Son, I can cancel the speech and I will spend the day with you on your birthday. Or I could do the speech, and if I do the speech, I will give you the $1,000 honorarium. It's your choice. You know, spend the day with Dad or get $1,000. I'm not sure if I'd give that option to my children. So what do you think the son chose? "Show me the money, Dad!" No. He said, "I want to spend the day with you." So he canceled the engagement. That's integrity. That's the kind of integrity we need. Having integrity means you keep your promises even if they no longer benefit you. Even if it hurts you. Even if it costs more than you anticipated. I have never regretted keeping a promise or keeping a trust. Neither will you. Keep your promises. Second one is pay your bills. You may not think it is a big deal, but it is a big deal to God. You spend, you know, because we spend too much money. Do you spend more money than you make? That is a lack of integrity. Do you get yourself in debt buying things that you can't pay off? That's a lack of integrity. Psalm 37:21, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. When you don't pay your bills and you keep delaying, you're really stealing from people. When you make excuses about why you can't pay, or you make promises like the check is in the mail, you are lying. See, that's how integrity, lack of integrity, wears us out, causes us to sin more. When you can't pay your bills, you worry more, you stress out all the time. Better to develop a budget, get some financial counseling, and pay your bills on time, and have peace of mind. Now, I know all of you, a lot of you are, these issues are no big deal for you. But you talk to people at work and at school all the time that have problems. So when I teach you, and if it doesn't apply to you, you use it to teach someone else. If you constantly struggle with your finances or you need financial counseling, come and see me and I will help you. I used to be a CPA. I used to charge $400 an hour. I'll do it for free. You know, a pastor, and if you won't do it because it's free, I'll charge you $400 an hour. Then you'll take it serious and then you'll do it. A pastor called me this week because his taxes were in a mess and he goes, "I'm really sorry." He felt bad that he was calling me Bob. And I said, "You are not a bother. I've committed to the Lord that whatever I can do for someone else, I will do for free and I'll help you." Pay your bills. Thirdly, refuse to gossip. Refuse to gossip. I don't know about you, but I have this flaw where I love to listen to gossip. You know, really good, juicy gossip. You know, we're not supposed to listen, but we hear it, we listen. You know? I don't know why that is. Is it because gossip makes us feel a bit more important than that other person? Does gossip make that person look a little lower so we look a little higher? Are we morally superior because we don't have any problems? Proverbs 11:13, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Trust me, I don't gossip about any of you. Anything you tell me, I don't tell anybody. I'm very careful about that. If I hear something bad, I want to help you. Bible says if you're acting as a gossip, you can't be trusted. Trust is one of the greatest attributes of integrity. Relational integrity means that you don't talk about people one way in front of them, and then you talk about something different when they're not in front of you. You don't say to them in front of them that, "Wow, you're wonderful," and then you turn around and tell someone, "Oh, he's a horrible person." The goal is not to betray people. The goal is to build people up. So if we hear something negative or bad about a person, we need to start praying about how we can help them, how we can build them up. We need to refuse to gossip. The fourth one is faithful tithing. Where do you put your money? Wherever you put your money, that's what's important to you. The first check you write when you get paid at work or something, the first check you write shows what's important to you. The Bible says you give to God first. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in thy house. Test me on this, says the Lord Almighty. The only place in Scripture where God says, you can test me. Test me on this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. The people of Israel were complaining because they felt like they were living under a curse. Their lives were miserable. They were oppressed by enemies. They were struggling. But God says, you're just cursing yourself because you live for yourself and not God. When we live for God, we walk upright and moral. We do what is right all the time. But when we live for ourselves, become selfish and sinful. We start cheating and taking advantage of people. There's no community, no integrity in our relationships. Their greed and selfishness made their lives miserable. They did not give to God first. They didn't think of God first. And God says, you need to trust in me. Trust in me. Let me bless you. But when we withhold our trust, God can't bless us. See, just think about it. In that time of the month when you get paid, you write down and write out a check for your mortgage, your utility, your bills, your car loans, your credit cards, and then you see what is left and you say, well, that's what I'm going to give to God. You know, God is not honored when you give Him leftovers. Give to God first. Now, if you're having financial problems, if you're in terrible debt, you can't give like you're supposed to, so you need to get that squared away. Now, Old Testament law specified a tithe, 10%. New Testament teaching specifies that we give cheerfully and generously. We give because we love God. I personally am committed to give 10%. Because that is a realistic number that anybody can give if they manage their finances carefully. But if you can't do that right now, you're not sure where to start, you pick a percentage like 5%, or you pick an amount like $50 a week or something like that, and you commit it to God and you give it. And then after 6 months, you pray about raising it up, raising another percentage. If you raise it every so often, you'll get to where you're really being a good giver, a person of integrity. Over time, you just increase it and your faith increases. Let me tell you this. If you're cheap with God, your life will be cheap. You understand what I'm saying? If you are cheap with God and you treat Him cheaply, your life will be cheap. What that means is it will become worthless. Your life will become meaningless because you put your emphasis in the wrong things. Then fifthly, the fifth one is do your best at work. Colossians 3:22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. You know, slaves, just think employee. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with your heart as you're working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward if it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So we work. We do good work. We don't cheat on our time. We don't fudge. We work like God is watching us because we want to work and glorify God. See, how many of you work just when the manager is watching? Do you slack off when no one's watching? Do you call in sick when you feel lazy? God expects you to do your best, to be honest, and to work hard all of the time. You work with your heart, all your heart, so you can be a testimony to your managers, to your boss, to your employees. They see that you are people of integrity. You show them how honest a Christian is. And when they ask you, why do you work like that, you tell them why. It's an opportunity to share the gospel. Lastly, the last way to develop integrity is be real with others. We get real. Living with integrity means that you don't pretend. You're real with yourself. You're honest with yourself. You're honest with God. You can tell God when you have problems and pain. You're real with others. You're an open book. You're authentic. What people see is what they get. You know, one of the biggest complaints I've heard of pastors is the way they preach in the way they act in the pulpit may be all sweet and wise, but in person, they're crude and rude. And so their testimony is that of a hypocrite. 2 Corinthians 4:2. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deceptions, nor do we distort the word of God. When Paul came to preach the word, he was open and honest. You know, they think about the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the Jewish, in the Jewish temple. Everybody knew that they were in a power mindset. They wanted to grab power. They wanted to have money, and that's what they did. That's why they were pastors. That's why they were priests. A person of integrity does not act one way in church, and then another way at work, and then another way on the golf course. You know, we're the same through and through. We don't wear masks. We don't play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate people. We don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. We are open and honest. Ephesians 6:14, talking about the armor of God. Stand firm then. Excuse me. You got more water. Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist. You know, before you can put on the armor, you got to put on that belt. Belt supports everything. The belt holds you up. So we need to be open and honest with God, with people, and ourselves. We put on that belt of truth. Every day, we know what is right, and we fight for it. We know what is wrong, and we fight against it. That's a person of integrity. Without the belt of truth, I become a hypocrite. It's as simple as that. And if I'm a hypocrite, I have no defense against the devil. So I ask you today, brothers and sisters, do you have integrity? Maybe you have integrity at work. You have integrity with God. You have integrity with your family that's close to you, to your friends. Do you have integrity? Is it something you want to be? Which of these six steps do we need to start doing today? Where do I need to change? Maybe you know that you haven't been honest with God about your giving, and you're going to start praying about your giving and get right with Him. Maybe even be honest with God about your financial problems, or maybe there's a sin that's hiding in you because you haven't been honest with yourself about that sin that dominates your life. Integrity is a key to a better life and a better future. And we want to help you here at Northwest. If you've been struggling with a long-term issue, come and see us. We have people who've been through the same thing. We will help you. But it begins when you choose to get right with God. When you admit that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that you've made mistakes, that you've sinned against God, and now you want to change. And so as we go into our decision time, I want to ask you, what are you lacking in your life? What steps do you need to take to become a person of integrity? And maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's time to say yes to Jesus. You know, God believes in you. He believes in you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in this world and to rise from the dead. He believes in you, but you have to believe in God. Isn't it time to put your faith in Jesus Christ today? Let's pray. Father, we just thank You that You sent Jesus Christ into this world to show us what a person of integrity looks like, what a person who's wholly devoted to You look like. Father, I pray that each of us here, though, that call ourselves believers and Christians, that we will be devoted to You, that Your love will flow through us, and that Your love will flow to others, that we walk daily bringing glory to You, knowing what is right, and doing what is right because we love You and it brings joy to us. Father, there's someone struggling with integrity. I pray that they be honest with You and admit their sin, that we can help them. And I pray, Father, there's someone here today who needs to make that decision to trust in You as their Savior and Lord. They just say, yes, Jesus, I believe in You. Help us, Lord, to be bold in our changes and where we're going, that we glorify You. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing, and if I can pray or encourage you in any ways, please come forward.